بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We begin into another direction, and that is the tashahhud that we say in prayer, and also the salutation we offer to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. With us, hadith 119, and Arshi will give us the honor of reading it inshallah.
Abdullah bin Mas'ud said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught me at tashahud, my hands between his hands, as he used to teach me in the surah of the Quran. All compliments, prayers, and pure words are due to Allah. Peace be upon you, O Prophet, and the mercy of Allah and His blessings. Peace be upon us and all the righteous slaves of Allah. I bear witness that none has a right to be worshipped except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is a slave and messenger. In another narration, when one of you sits, let him say, At-tahiyatu lillahi, till the end. In another narration, for when he says this, it reaches every upright servant in heaven and earth. And also, he may choose what pleases him of dua.
Now this great hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, we recite it in the first tashahhud and in the last tashahhud. Meaning, we recite it in Maghrib twice and Isha twice. In Fajr, once, because Maghrib and Isha and all four Rak'ah units have two tashahhud. The first tashahhud is mandatory. The last tashahhud is a pillar of prayer. And Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me this tashahhud while my hands were between his hands. And this is the way when you want someone to be 100% alert. I can teach you from a distance, but if I hold your hands and you're close to me and I look you into the eyes and you are repeating behind me, this sticks in your head. Of course, it is not advisable for a teacher to teach his students like this, because this would consume the whole year just to teach them one chapter of the Quran, if you have to do this with every person. But this shows us how knowledgeable Ibn Mas'ud was, how close to the Prophet he was. Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, usually is known as Ibn Mas'ud. Like Abdullah ibn Umar is known as Ibn Umar. Abdullah ibn Abbas, the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ, Ibn Abbas. They don't have to say the full name, the first name. So Ibn Mas'ud was so close to the Prophet ﷺ to the extent that he said, I have learned 70 plus surahs from the Prophet's mouth ﷺ directly. And when you say 70 plus surahs, and this means that this is more than 2/3 of the Quran. He took it directly from the Prophet's mouth as soon as it was revealed. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ instructed us to learn the Quran from four. One of them was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. His name in the hadith, Ibn Ummi Abd. His nickname, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, his name is Ibn Ummi Abd. His mother, Abd is the short for Abdullah. Ibn, the son. So he's the son of the mother of Abd. So this is a nickname that the Prophet used with him. Not only that, it was reported in the authentic hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, O Abdullah, recite the Quran for me. And he said, O Prophet of Allah, I recite the Quran and it was revealed to you? He said, yes, I love to hear it from someone else. So the Prophet did not choose Abu Bakr, Umar. He chose Ibn Mas'ud. Ibn Mas'ud says, so I recited Surah An-Nisa until I reached ayah number 40, which talks about Allah saying, how is it, O Muhammad, when we bring all the nations and we bring you a witness on them all. So the Prophet ﷺ said, that is enough, Ibn Mas'ud. And he stopped and he said, I looked at the Prophet and I saw him weeping. I saw the tears in his eyes. So this man is not any other man. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, if you go to his biography, you'll be shocked. He was the one known to carry the sandals of the Prophet ﷺ and his wudu. So this was his job. His name, Sahibu al-Na'l, meaning that he is the one who was responsible to take care of the Prophet's shoes and sandals, which means that he was always with him. It was reported once that he climbed a tree, and while he was up at the tree on top getting something for the Prophet, the companions fell on their backs laughing. And the Prophet said, why are you laughing? And they said, Prophet of Allah, look at his legs. They are like cue sticks, you know, the billiards. They're like the miswak, is so thin. It is so funny, look at that. And the Prophet said, alayhi wasalam, by Allah, they are heavier at the side of Allah than Mount Uhud. These skinny little feet or legs of his. And we all know that the one who chopped the head of Abu Jahl, the fierce enemy of Islam and of the Prophet ﷺ on the Battle of Badr, was Ibn Mas'ud. The two, Mu'adh and Mu'awwadh, the sons of Afra, they managed to injure him and get him out or off his mount or camel. And then they were occupied in defending themselves, but he was there injured. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud came and finished him off and brought his head to the Prophet ﷺ, or as the narration says. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was very close to the Prophet ﷺ. And that is why the Prophet chose him to teach him at tashahhud. And he said that the Prophet taught it to me as he teaches me the Quran. So word by word. And we all know the hadith, attahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And there are a number of narrations, different versions of this hadith other than Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. However, the majority of scholars say that this is the most authentic, the most famous, and the most reliable. Yet the others are acceptable, but this is that most of the companions have agreed upon. In another narration, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, when you come to the position where you say, As-salamu alayna, that is us, wa ala ibadillahi salihin, and upon all the righteous servants of Allah, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever says this, his salam would reach every righteous servant of Allah, whether in the heavens or on the earth. And subhanallah, since I've read this hadith long time ago, whenever I offer tashahhud, when I say assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin, I always imagine one of my scholars, one of my shuyukh, one of my people whom I love and to be righteous in different parts of the world. It comes to me. And this is because I believe in what the Prophet said, alayhi as-salatu was-salam. Now, as stated before, the first tashahhud is mandatory. If you leave it deliberately, your prayer is invalid. If you leave it because you forgot, you make up for that by offering two prostrations of forgetfulness. In the last tashahhud, this is a pillar. If you leave it, your prayer is invalid and you have to repeat the prayer if you forgot that and it was a long period of time before you remembered. This hadith is the well-known version which Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, used to teach the people. However, Ibn Mas'ud himself, as in Sahih al-Bukhari, stated that we used to offer the tashahhud by saying As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi when the Prophet was alive. When he passed away, when he died, we used to say As-salamu ala nabiyyi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And this made the scholars differ. What to use? Would we use the first hadith or version where it seemed as if we are addressing the Prophet, though we are not, alayhi salatu wasalam? It seems as if we are giving him the salutation, speaking to him face to face. Or should we use the version of Ibn Mas'ud, which he stated that the companions used after the Prophet's death? It's an issue of dispute. Some say, no, we stick with the same version, As-salamu alayka, ayyuhan nabi, which Ibn Mas'ud initially taught us, and Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, used to teach the people after the death of the Prophet. Others say, no, we stick with the other version, the latest, the final of Ibn Mas'ud, because he knows his hadith more than the others. So he knows the implication of saying As-salamu alayka when the Prophet was alive, and after his death he changed it into As-salamu ala nabi instead of As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. As-salamu ala nabi, addressing a third party. And whatever you do, it is inshallah acceptable and no problem in saying it, because both hadiths are authentic. On the contrary, the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud is more authentic than the hadith of Umar, because it's in the Sahih and the other one is not in the Sahih. However, I personally would go with the latest version of Ibn Mas'ud, and that is to say As-salamu ala nabiyyi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, just to be on the safe side. We have a short break. Stay tuned and inshallah we'll be right back. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Kareem, would you please read the hadith, hadith number 120.
Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla said, Ka'b bin Ujra radiallahu anhu met me. He said, shall I not give you a present? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once came out to us and we said, O Prophet of Allah, we know how to greet you, but how do we send blessings of Allah upon you? He said, say, O Allah, praise Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you had praised Abraham and the family of Abraham. Verily, you are the praised, the glorious. O Allah, bless Muhammad and on the family of Muhammad as you had blessed Abraham and on the family of Abraham. Verily, you are the praised, the glorious.
Jazakallahu khairan. This is known as As-salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the first one was known as At-tashahud. And As-salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is divided into two types, the full version and the short version. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, among those closest to me on the day of judgment are those who offer salam to me as much as possible. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Muhammad. So the shorter version is Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Muhammad. This is offering a salutation to the Prophet alayhi salam. The longer version is what is known as As-salatul Ibrahimiyyah. And why do we say As-salatul Ibrahimiyyah? Because the name of the Messenger of Allah, Ibrahim, is mentioned. And it goes, it has a number of different variations. Among them is this one, and it's the most famous. So you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Some versions has fil alamin innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Some versions does not mention the name Ibrahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. And it goes on with different additions here and there. They're all inshallah acceptable, but this is the most authentic and accepted version. Now, what is the ruling on reading this salam or this Salat al-Ibrahimiyyah in prayer? Imam al-Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad said that it is mandatory, and those who do not offer it, their prayer is invalid. Imam Malik and Imam Abu Hanifa and a lot of The scholars said that it is a sunnah and it is not mandatory. And this is the most authentic opinion, that it is a sunnah. If you don't do it, your prayer is valid. However, would there be a Muslim in his sound state of mind preferring not to offer a Salatul Ibrahimiyah to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, preferring not to send the blessings of Allah to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? No one would do this. And anyone who would think of doing it probably does not love the properly alayhi salatu wasalam. Because we know the more you offer salat and salam to our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the closer you are to him. And the more you do this, the more Allah would answer your calls. And that is why the Prophet says alayhi salatu wasalam, every supplication is blocked from reaching Allah Azza wa Jal unless you offer salam to me. So imagine, you're sitting in the middle of the night, you raise your hands, you praise Allah and say, oh Allah, give me this, oh Allah, give me that, but you don't say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, Allah will not answer your dua. And that is why you have to say, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, then, As-salatu was-salamu ala Rasulillah, then, oh Allah, pay my debts, oh Allah, make me pass my exams, oh Allah, grant me a child, etc. And a lot of the Muslims neglect this. However, do we do this when we are doing general dua? In the sense that I want to say Sayyidul Istighfar. What is Sayyidul Istighfar? The master of asking Allah for forgiveness. Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant, khalaqtani wa ana abduk, wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika ma istata't, a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana't. To the end of the dua. Do I say Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah and I say this? Scholars say you have to be careful. There are du'as that are prescribed. And the prescribed du'as, you do not start them with Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. And there are general du'a. I'd like to make du'a to Allah Azza wa Jal to make me pass the exam tomorrow. This is general du'a. So I raise my hands, I praise Allah Azza wa Jal, and I offer salutation to the Prophet alayhi salam, then I go for my du'a. Likewise, in salat, if I want to make du'a in my prostration, do I precede that by saying Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah? The answer is no. Because we're instructed to make dua without that in prostration or before concluding the prayer with as-salam. And from this hadith also, we learn that the Salaf, the people of our righteous predecessors, used to consider the most expensive and the most valuable gift, the things of knowledge, the things related to Islam. Abdurrahman ibn Layla is one of the greatest tabi'een. He himself says, I have witnessed 120 of the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Each one of them wishes, when asked a question, that his brother took the liability and answered the question instead of him. This is when, in issues of fatwa, he said, I met 120 companions from the Ansar, not from the Muhajirin. From the Muhajirin, he met more. And each one of them wishes and hopes that when someone comes and asks him about an incident, that his brother would say, I'll answer that for you. How is it, do we find the people nowadays? If anyone asks a question, what's the ruling on this? You will get 10 or 20 people volunteering to answer. The ruling is this, no, I think it's halal, no, I think it's haram, without knowledge. Yet the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, as Abdurrahman ibn Layla, this one, this tabi'i, great tabi'i, says they all tried to dodge, to stay away from these fatwas or answering questions because they did not want to speak without any knowledge. So Ka'b ibn Ujrah, may Allah be pleased with him, Also, if I recall correctly, he's the one who came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam while in the state of Ihram with bugs and lace coming out of his head. And that is why Allah revealed in Surah Al-Baqarah the fidya for those who have to shave their heads if they are forced to do this due to an illness. And the fidya, as we know, is to slaughter a sheep or to feed six poor people half a sa' each, or to fast 3 days. Ka'b ibn Ujrah met Abdurrahman ibn Layla. And what did he say? Shall I give you a gift? Do you want me to give you a gift? If someone today tells you this, and say, yes, I do. He says, okay, the Prophet said, hey, what the Prophet said? Give me a gift, give me a wallet, give me a watch, give me a pen, give me a car. This is the gift I'm looking for. Hadith, subhanallah, the difference of the hearts makes the difference of evaluating things. Abdurrahman was extremely happy with this gift. What was the gift? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told them that when he came out, they told him, we know how to greet you, so how can we send the blessings to you? And he taught them how to do that. So this, as indicated before, it is a sunnah to recite, but it is a highly recommended sunnah, and no one in his sound state of mind would skip it just because it is a sunnah. One or some of the scholars said, how is it that Allah tells us, O Allah, praise Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you have praised the family of Ibrahim? Though we know that Ibrahim is lower than Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So how can it be? Usually when you want something, you say, O Allah, make me as strong as XYZ, because he's stronger than me. But if I say, O Allah, make me as strong as a two-year-old child, this would not be logical. So how is it happening this way? There are a number of answers to that, and scholars say the best of answers is that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is a descendant of Ibrahim, because his son is Ismail, and the Prophet is the descendant of Ismail. So Ibrahim is his great grandfather. And there were so many messengers and prophets of the descendants of Ibrahim, because he had Ishaq, and all the prophets of the Jews were from the descendants of Ishaq. So Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us, or the Prophet is teaching us, to praise and to send the blessings on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as it was to all the messengers and prophets that were descending from Ibrahim. Peace and blessing be upon them all. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.